Hey everybody. What's up? How y'all doing? Everybody hanging in there?
I had a couple weird moments of squirreliness yesterday. Normally I have this routine where, and this is as a creative anyway, like if you don't have a 9-to-5, you kind of need structure, right? You just need a routine. So I always get up, I make the bed, I get dressed. Putting on real people pants is a big deal. I don't know why, but it makes a difference. Get dressed and make breakfast and have coffee and then kind of decide what I need to get done that day. And it's always a little ritual and it always feels good and productive. But I mean, yesterday I was having none of it. I stayed naked in bed until noon. And that sounds great, but it is not as great as you would think. I felt kind of like a lazy piece of shit. My whole day was kind of just weirdly off thanks to that. It got better. I pulled my head out of my ass. Thanks to cognitive behavioral therapy. But yeah, I mean, I'm sharing that just to say that, like, if you guys are having weird moments where you feel a little off, that's completely normal. We are living under the weirdest circumstances. I've just been thinking about, it's not so much the having to stay home, because a lot of us would do that anyway. It really is sort of just having to, just live with uncertainty. It's more living with not knowing what the future looks like. Just accommodating that daily, all the time, is a very, very weird feeling. And I think that's what kind of grinds us down a little bit. So yeah, make sure that, you know, if you're feeling low, like, check in and see if that's what's causing that. You know, if it's external factors that are just wearing you down, then you know that you're okay. You know, you're just going through something that's very normal in the situation and it's going to pass. And you let the storm blow through and it'll go away again. It's not permanent. It's not part of you. It's just part of the situation. So it'll come and go. Having said that, I am going to dive into chapter 2 of our resilience workbook by Cheryl M. Bradshaw, MA. Thanks, Cheryl, for writing this wonderfully concise, fairly entertaining book. And I really love the exercise that's in this chapter. Like, really, really. I think I was talking about it in the first episode. So I'm really excited to get into this one today. God knows how long this episode's going to be. We'll see. I'll try to keep it tight. You will hear a snoring dog in the background. There he is. He's snoring. Wow, he's really loud today, actually. And you will also hear some birdies chirping. I have a little... I don't know if anybody else likes to do this. I need noise in the background all the time. And I'm lazy and I haven't turned off on my computer. I have on YouTube an 8-hour... 4K video of like just a lake somewhere gorgeous. It looks like Vancouver or something, or BC. And it's just bird song and lake sounds. So if you hear that in the background, that's what that is. I'm leaving it running. Maybe it's soothing, you know? But without further ado, let's get started on storytelling and perspectives. I'm fixing our brains during all of this. Brain maintenance. See, you can tell I'm getting squirrely. Okay. The way we think about things has a big effect on how we get through things. God, that is so true. Perception is everything. One of the most important things to recognize in life is that there is no singular reality. There is no singular truth. Side note, I've actually underlined that. It's fun to revisit this. In each and everything that we experience, how we see and experience events depends a lot on us and how we choose to interpret life events. We are the writers of our own story. When we experience something in life, we tend to write a little script in our heads, a narrative of how our life is going, what's going on around us, and how the events are playing out. We all do this. We all have a little movie and a little playback button that we can hit when we scroll backwards into memories. This background voice, like the movie guy voice that does all the movie trailers, can also impact how we will interpret future events as well. The trouble here is that most of us have our movie guy or girl voice in our heads, that has been talking along our whole lives, but we've never really paid much attention to that voice. And we never really stopped to consider that that voice is one that we actually have control over. It's not just on autoplay, or at least it shouldn't be. This voice is incredibly important, and we are going to get to know it better through this book. This internal voice and this way of looking at things is something we actually do have control over. We may not be able to choose all of the events that happen to us in our lives, but we can choose how we write our own scripts. Let's try it. I want you to think of this classic story, the story that everyone knows, Romeo and Juliet. Your job right now is to write the story from the perspective of someone who loves the story and thinks it is the greatest love story ever told. And in the book, we've got lines for that to describe Romeo and Juliet from the perspective of someone who loves the story and thinks it's the greatest love story ever told. I'm going to give you a minute. Think about how you would describe Romeo and Juliet from that perspective. Okay. Hopefully that was long enough for you. Now, your job is to write the story from the perspective of someone who thinks that Romeo and Juliet were being ridiculous teenagers and that it's an incredibly immature story. And I will pause again while you marshal your thoughts here to describe Romeo and Juliet from the perspective of someone who thinks that they were being ridiculous teenagers and that it's an incredibly immature story. Notice how the story itself didn't change, but that the way that you told the story changed how you felt about what happened, and that you had the power to change the story just by changing how you describe the events. And it is interesting, like my answers that I had written in here from the perspective of someone who loves it, I wrote, two teenagers from warring families discover that love is much stronger than hate. And for the perspective of someone who thinks they're being ridiculous and that it's immature, I said children are driven together in rebellion and end up dying as a result. And those are two completely very different stories, but it really does. I mean, it's the same play. It just depends on perspective. I think it's really, really, it's a fun little exercise. I like it. And they suggest trying this again with other stories that you know well. Try Cinderella or Snow White or The Three Little Pigs. So if you get bored, if you have free time during all of this and you want to occupy your mind and harness it, give it a try with Cinderella or Snow White or The Three Little Pigs. And, you know, yeah, comment. Tell me what you wrote about it. I'd love to hear the two different perspectives on those and on Romeo and Juliet. I'd love to hear your answers. I'm curious. And now, the meat. The really fun exercise here that I use for so many things in life now. It's really, really helpful. I'm going to stop hyping it because I don't want to, you know, I'm building it up too much. But stuck thoughts. We're going to talk about this right now. I'm going to read this. I'll let her discuss it, but it's really, really valuable. So ears up, perk up. More to try. So how do you know which story is right? This leads us to a much larger conversation. You see, the brain doesn't like to live in uncertainty. It likes to decide. This is because it takes more energy to live in a state of uncertainty. Oh, that's a throwback to what I just talked about at the beginning of this. Oh, I feel so validated right now, you guys. Start again on that sentence. Okay. This is because it takes more energy to live in a state of uncertainty. and your body tries to conserve energy wherever it can. So your brain looks at the information that it has at the time, then it writes a story, then it stores that story in the background, and it keeps going. The flaw in the design of the brain is that when we write our stories too quickly, or when we decide something at a certain time in our lives without ever revisiting or challenging that story, we may end up with a belief that does not allow us to grow, expand, or change. There's a very simple four-step method based on CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, for recognizing and challenging those negative stories. For example, let's look at how Austin deals with this type of challenge of a stuck narrative. Step one, identify the stuck thought. For Austin's example, it says, I'm bad at public speaking. Step two, identify evidence that supports the stuck thought. And that's an interesting point. Before I read Austin's example, I think in this process of this exercise, the first thing they have you do after you identify the thought that's bothering you or the thought that makes you feel bad about yourself or your life, they immediately have you validate why that thought's there. They have you come up with evidence that says, okay, there is a reason why I feel like this. And I think once you do that, it makes you feel a little better because you realize I'm not broken. There's a reason that I'm thinking these thoughts. So immediately you validate things by coming up with evidence that supports that stuck thought. In Austin's case, it says, I shake like a leaf and my mouth gets dry and I need every word written down or I screw up when I'm public speaking. And the next step, step three, you identify evidence against the stuck thought. So they're testing your flexibility here, right? So you've come up with evidence that supports it, and now it's time to challenge all of that, which is really helpful. This is where you start to turn it around. In Austin's case, it says, I guess I do usually get good marks when I give presentations, and teachers keep encouraging me to trust myself more. That must mean something. And I had that one awesome experience recently of being able to talk freely as soon as I trusted myself that I knew what I was talking about, and I didn't use so many notes. He has some evidence that challenges that stuck thought. And now you've got a mind that's accommodating two different narratives, right? So in step four, what you do is you replace the stuck thought with a more balanced thought. They don't want you to directly challenge it or completely erase it. Instead, they want something that's a little more balanced that allows you to, you know, accommodate how you were feeling and validate it, but at the same time, kind of look at it from a more balanced perspective, and that suddenly takes the sting out of it. It's really interesting. So for Austin's case, it says his balanced thought is, if I don't trust myself or if I make too many notes, I can make myself nervous and this makes me not perform well. If I trust myself and allow myself to speak from the heart, I actually can speak quite well in front of groups, even if I'm nervous. And that's a way better thought. It's a way better thought to think. I think, you know, when we have our self-talk, we kind of discount just how mean we can be to ourselves. I will catch myself thinking things that I would never say to anyone else. And it's something that's so matter of fact and so sort of running in the background. Again, it's a narrative I don't challenge. And it's something that accumulates over time and it really can wear you down mentally. So really focusing on positive self-talk can change so much about how you feel and the way you look at the world. I really do believe that. And so now we're gonna put you through your paces and we're gonna give you a turn at doing this. Ready? You gonna do this with me? Oh gosh, I don't know if I'm gonna read my answers. They're personal. We'll leave it blank for now. Okay, but it's your turn. Here we go. Step one, identify the stuck thought. And I think it's a good idea, actually, if you guys have a notebook, this is the time to write stuff down. This is more involved than the other ones. You know, you don't have to mark a box for left or right arm. This is really writing some deep stuff. So I would encourage you while you're listening to go ahead and hit pause right now, grab a notebook and a pen, and come on back and write this down with me, okay? Okay. Step one, identify the stuck thought. Write down something you're currently struggling with, something you wish was different. Maybe your brain has told you that you aren't good at art, that you aren't very smart, that you're awkward, or that you aren't attractive. And so I'm going to pause here and let you think about it for a second and write down something that you're currently struggling with or something that you wish was different. You written something down? You feeling okay? I know it's weird to search that mental inventory for the negative stuff, so I hope you're feeling okay. You're still awesome. Step two, evidence supporting that nasty stuck thought. So why do you think this? What evidence do you have that this story is true? That is, what happened that caused your brain to write that story? And I'm going to give you a second to come up with your reasoning here. Come up with your evidence. Okay. This is the tricky bit. Step three, evidence against the stuck thought. Now, think of a time when maybe that story wasn't 100% true. Maybe a time when you made some art that you were pretty happy with, even if it wasn't the best in the world. Or maybe a time where you got a hard question on a test right. Or that you made a new friend. Or that a boy or girl showed some interest in you or complimented you on something. This is going to ask your brain to stretch itself outside of the storyline that it finds more comfortable. And it's going to resist that change. Remember, that's normal. In fact, that's the feeling that we're looking for. And she's not kidding. It feels weird. It feels weird to come up with contradictory evidence. But I know you can do it. So I'm going to give you a second here. And think about a time where this stuck thought and this narrative in your head actually wasn't 100% true. Okay. We are now on the most important step. And the most helpful one, I think. So we're at step four, replace the stuck thought with a more balanced thought. Now that you have some evidence for the old story in support of it, and you also have some evidence against the old story, why it might not be 100% true, try writing a story that's a bit more balanced. Try to use words like sometimes, often, in some cases, maybe, and other qualifiers that leave room for change and growth in the story. Avoid using words like worst or always or never when used in the negative sense, or negative labels like bad or awful or loser, and so on. This one's a doozy, you guys. I'm going to give you a minute here. Marshal your thoughts and come up with a more balanced thought to replace that horrible, mean, stuck thought. Okay, how'd you do? How'd it feel? Do you have something now that you can use when this horrible thought pops up? Do you have something to challenge it? A new thought to replace it with? I'm guilty of not constantly going to the balanced thought when I think the first stuck thought, when that pops up. So revisiting this is a good challenge for me. I'm definitely going to try this week. If I have a stuck thought that pops into my head, I'm immediately going to try and replace it with a more balanced thought. The last little paragraph here says, awesome. This four-step process is one that you can use at any time when you find yourself stuck in a narrative or a story about yourself or your life that is holding you back, stealing your confidence, or limiting your ability to change, grow, and learn. And that is the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3 is called Letting Go of Your Old Story, and we will get to it very soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to let you process, digest, and work on that 4-step process here, that magical, wonderful, CBT-based 4-step process of identifying the sucky, shitty thought. They call it stuck thought, but I'll call it sucky, shitty thought. Coming up with evidence to support it and validate it, let you know you're not crazy. Coming up with evidence directly opposed to it, against it, that challenges it. And finally, coming up with something that is more balanced to replace it. That acknowledges that your struggle's valid, but there is a nicer way to talk to yourself and a kinder perspective to view it from. And that, honestly, will soften life for you. I really, 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 really believe that, you guys. It was really good to revisit that. That was a good little reminder and a refresher for me, and I'm enjoying working through this. I hope you guys are enjoying it too. I think, again, like I said in the first episode, inner work is something that will always benefit us. It's never a detriment. So while we have the time, I think it's a really good way to occupy our minds. And I am really honored and touched that you guys are following along and participating with me. And this is a reminder to cross your arms in the opposite way. Right now, do it. Keep that flexibility going. It's going to get easier and easier. Is it getting easier? Has anybody noticed if you're crossing them the opposite way? Like, does it feel less weird now? Is your brain adapting? And since I am kind of, you know, diving into this now, I was unsure on the first one, and then I got good feedback from you guys in messages and in comments. But I really, you know, and it was good for me too. It's helping me out to do this. So I'm diving in here. So let me read the back of the description of this book, because I didn't do it before. So I'll let you know what you're in for here. It says, life can be tough. Here are the skills you need to thrive. And Lord, right now, social media, online ads, and glossy magazines make life look easy. Everyone is laughing, beautiful, and surrounded by friends. But reality doesn't come with photo filters. In real life, you may struggle with not fitting in or being bullied. You may feel overwhelmed by stress or feel stuck in disappointments and hard times. That's why it's so important to build resilience, the ability to bounce back from setbacks and difficult experiences. This workbook will show you how. In this helpful guide, you'll discover powerful skills you can use to overcome any obstacle that life throws your way. Using engaging activities and interactive exercises, you'll learn to balance your emotions, quiet your inner critic, and believe in your own power to tackle life's biggest challenges. You can develop positive ways to deal with stress and difficult feelings. Let this workbook guide you as you build your own resilience into adulthood. Love it. Love it. And in the interest of keeping these things limited to half an hour, we're going to cap this off now. But I hope, before I go, I hope you're hanging in there. I do. I hope you're being kind to yourself, and I hope you remember that exact sentence from the book where it says, it takes more energy to live in a state of uncertainty. And that is exactly what we're all doing right now. So be kind to yourself, be gentle with yourself, remind yourself that, you know, if you're tired or you feel weird, it's cool. This is a normal byproduct of just the actual current global climate, the situation that we're living in right now. And, you know, in the meantime, find fun where you can. I just found out today that the Palace at Versailles is offering free virtual tours. And that's awesome. I have been to Versailles once and it was incredible. I had so much fun, but it was so crowded. It always is. So many people taking selfies in the Hall of Mirrors. It was just, and I'm guilty. I took selfies too. But the most fun I had actually was escaping the main palace and getting on bikes. Because the grounds, like the estate, all of it is huge. You can get golf carts too. It's funny. They have these, like, I don't know how they do it. They have these electronic pathways that the golf carts follow. And if you go off path, the cart just shuts off. It just dies. It's really weird. And that happened a couple times, got lost. We got golf carts later on. But the most fun thing I did was rent the bikes and just bicycle down to Trianon and Petit Trianon and Marie Antoinette's Hamlet. I think they call it the Hambo. The little teeny tiny pleasure palaces that are dotted on the grounds of the estate. They're less crowded. They're little jewel boxes. They're so prettily decorated. And they were places where people would run off to escape from sort of the rigidity of court life and court etiquette. Everything was very stuffy. My history nerd is coming out, so I'm gonna stop. But these little pleasure palaces were built for some of the higher ranking members of the aristocracy, especially the king and his mistresses, to run off and just relax and go have fun and be alone-ish or just be with their besties. And I loved it. I loved seeing those little spots where this is where they go to be themselves. They're rich, snotty selves. They were horrible. But God, they made beautiful things. Anyway, so yeah, Versailles is offering virtual tours. Go ahead and Google it if you want to go see an uncrowded palace. That's what I'm excited about. My point is find some happiness where you can. Keep yourself occupied. Take good care of yourself. And I will be back soon with chapter 3, letting go of our old story. Sending lots of love to everybody. Hang in there. And I will be back soon. Mwah. Bye, guys.